people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Now, here with Everything Winona, here's Terry Tenseth.
Oh, don't you know?
In 1946, James E. Hauser saw a business opportunity for repairing stained glass windows during a rationing of materials due to the Second World War. Today, that company is still in existence and has grown with the help of his son.
My name is Jim Hauser. I and my brother Mike are the co-owners of the Willett Hauser Architectural Glass Company here located in Winona.
Today we will learn the history of Willett Hauser Architectural Glass and how Winona, Minnesota became known as the stained glass capital of the world and hear about some exciting projects such as the Metropolitan Transit System installments in New York City and more. You're listening to Don't You Know?
Tell me the story of Willett Hauser Architectural Glass.
Well, Willett Hauser is a combination of two studios. The older studio, the Willett Studios, was founded in 1898 by an artist named William Willett. He was quite a famous artist, having worked with Lafarge and Singer of that period. But he wanted to develop his own studio to create windows to his designs. And in 1910, he entered an international competition to create the large 40-foot tall altar window for the Cadet Chapel at West Point. He won that competition, I might add. The Tiffany Studios, the famed Tiffany Studios, came in third in that particular competition. But in any event, it was the start of the growth of the Willett Studios. The cadets liked that window so much that they decided, as class gifts, they wanted to give the rest of the windows in the cathedral-like chapel. And the windows were quite large, so none of the classes could afford to give a whole window, so they gave sections of windows. And so for 66 years, each graduating class would give a section in the name of their class and in the name of a class of 100 years previous, so that in 1976, upon completion of all of the windows in the chapel, all of the classes that had been graduated through West Point were then memorialized. And Willett Studios started working on the mess hall, then putting in more secular windows over there.
It's a pretty fancy mess hall.
Yes, it is, but there's still a lot of windows to be done, and we'd like to finish them sometime. We only did 5 of the large windows, and there's probably 20 of them.
You had mentioned the Tiffany downfall of them going away from stained glass.
Okay, it wasn't a downfall so much that I had mentioned earlier. Right. What I mentioned was Tiffany, after 1910, when Willett Studios started in its ascendance, the Tiffany Studios was still pretty busy, but Mr. Tiffany was aging, and Tiffany windows were getting very expensive because of all the labor that goes into them and the multiple layers and all. Plus, the styles were changing. The churches were going to a more traditional styled window, such as what you see in the cathedrals in Europe, so that it went out of fashion to have Tiffany windows. By the 50s, they were way out of fashion, for instance, but by the 60s and the 70s, collectors started seeing what was in a Tiffany window, and they started growing again in popularity. Nobody could make them because they were very, very expensive to make, and nobody could afford them, but collectors started buying what they could, and now there's fabulous prices paid for Tiffany lamps and Tiffany windows.
It's kind of ridiculous. I've seen some of those prices.
Yeah, you know, very,
just
very expensive.
Like, whoa!
$1 million for a lamp? That's an expensive lamp. In 1946, after the end of the Second World War, my father recognized an opportunity. He was an entrepreneur, a salesman, not a stained glass artist by far. But what he saw was that during the war, the rationing of the materials for stained glass, such as glass, lead, and steel, had led to the fact that many of the windows that might have been damaged from neglect, from accident, during that period of time were not repaired. And the large main studios, such as the Willett Studios out in Philadelphia, were so busy with the new windows they were creating for the building boom that was happening at that time, that if a small church in, say, rural Minnesota had a broken window because somebody had thrown a stone through it, they were instructed by these main studios, who were located mostly in large cities, to board up their window, take it out, board it up, and send it to the studio, and maybe in a year or so they'd get it back with the repairs done. Well, Dad saw the opportunity there to go to these churches on site and repair the windows in a couple of days, as to what the larger studios were saying would take a year. Well, over the years, we developed skills of working at the churches, and our skills for restoration increased, so that by 1970s, we were the largest studio doing repair and restoration in the United States. We were doing 85% of our business in repair and restoration, and the Willett Studios on Philadelphia was doing 85% of their business at that time in new windows. Well, in 1976, Crosby Willett, the third generation of the family, called my father. First off, he mentioned that they had some financial difficulties. Then he also mentioned that he wanted to get rid of all the hats of running a small business. He wanted to do what he liked to do best, which was to work with the artists and the clients as a conduit to make sure that they get the best windows and the most appropriate windows for their particular building. And in that we both had strengths where the other studio was weak, it looked like a very good marriage. And after a little while, we did purchase the Willett Studios, and it's been owned by my family since 1977 now. Crosby Willett still works with us. He's in his 80s, but he still works with us, and he still works with the artists and the clients in making sure that they get the best windows that they can.
God bless them.
Yeah.
You're going to be the same way in your 80s and doing
this? I like what I do, so who knows?
So your dad, he's not an artist, right? How
no.
does he find all his artists? What did he do?
Well, he was mostly a manager and able to build a company. But with the art part of it, don't forget, the Winona Studio was doing about 85% of its business in the right. restoration. We would right. have artists for restoration, so we got into the new window business. But it was kind of through the back door, as opposed to the way the Willett Studios started. The Willett Studios, on the other hand, being located in a large city, does have a lot of art schools and a lot of people that are interested in getting into the art part of it. In the Winona Studio, we are more craft-oriented, as opposed to the art-oriented part of the Willett Studios.
Now, your dad's not an artist, but you, on the other hand, have dabbled.
Yeah, I've designed windows. I paint as a hobby, and I draw all the time. I'm doodling. I've designed windows for maybe 8 to 10 different churches, but that's in 40 plus years of working in the business. I've got much better artists than I am, so that I rely on them to do most of the designing. Every now and then I'll see a small project that looks interesting, and if I have the time, I'll dabble with it, but it's once every 4 or 5 years.
Now, your company has gotten involved with the MTA.
Yes.
And the art out there, which I got to experience when I lived out in New York. I saw mm-hmm. a bunch of it on the transit. How did that come about?
Well, they contacted us and asked us, well, they knew we were doing faceted glass, and they had done a few faceted glass installations in restored MTA stations. They had lost the man that was making those mm-hmm. particular windows for them, so that they asked us to do a sample panel to see if we could do something that would work for them, and they liked it. And since then, we've worked with them on 30 different installations, because as they restore these train stations, basically, it's mostly the elevated train stations where we work, they have a certain allowance of the budget that has to go into artwork. And so they have a competition with regional artists in New York, not artists that are used to working with glass, so they have no experience in it. They give us paintings and drawings, and we have to find a way to turn it into faceted glass panels. So far, we've been very successful with it. Like I said, we've done, I think, 35, 37 stations and hundreds of these panels that have decorated the stations now.
How did Winona then get the title of Stained Glass Capital of the World? Because of the studio right
well,
here?
Well, it being the largest of the studios, that would probably be a big part of it, because other studios, some of the people from other studios came from our studio, but not all of them by any means, and not all of them were started by other people that came from our studio. But for its population, Winona probably has more stained glass people than anybody else. But if you were to go into New York or Philadelphia, there's going to be more stained glass people in a large city like that than there is in Winona. Winona got that title because a town of 27,000 people had 7 or 8 stained glass studios in it, and counting up the people that worked in our Winona studio here, plus the rest of them, population-wise, it seemed to be a high percentage of the population working in a craft that not many people know much about.
Economy affects even this business, right?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, because especially churches are struggling, right? And a large percentage of your business is probably ecclesiastic type art. So how does that affect things overall for you? Do you start looking at other projects to do, or?
We try to, but unfortunately, we're still tied very directly to the churches. The good news for us is that we are known as a quality studio, so that a lot of the jobs that we get, especially in our new window department, are jobs that are in, that are large churches and have substantial budgets, so that we are known for that kind of quality that people can afford. And if they can afford the best, then they don't get put off by depressions or recessions that much. On the other hand, things that can be put off sometimes are put off, such as repair and restoration of some of the windows. They can say, well, we'll wait a year and take a look at them again. However, on a new window project, such as a building that's already committed, that's going up, they've got to fill those openings. And they've usually got donors already for the windows, being the easiest things to get donors for. It's a lot easier than getting a donor for a boiler. But in any event, it does mean that we're affected by it, but perhaps not as affected as some others are.
What do you love about this business? What makes it worth it for you to come in here every day and keep going?
I think mostly it's the fact that it is art. I've always been fascinated by it, even if I'm not working on it myself. And the craftsmanship of the old windows and the craftsmanship in the new windows are both exciting. And I'm learning something almost every day about it. As we take these older windows apart, we often find interesting things inside of them. And we find interesting things in the designs. I mean, we've taken apart German windows that in German, the glass painter might have hidden his signature in the fold of a robe, and where if you look at it the right way, it'll say George Schmidt painted this window in German.
You know, that's cool.
But you don't see it until you take it apart. Or you find the little idiosyncrasies that, throughout history, glass people have done. I was in York, England, with the head of the restoration department of the Cathedral of York. And he was taking me through on a private tour, and he handed me binoculars for one window that was way up there. And he says, take a look at this window. He says, what's unusual about it? I didn't know. I didn't see anything real unusual. He says, take a look at the borders. And I look at the borders, and something looks funny. And I kind of zoomed in on it a little bit more. And it's a funeral procession in the borders of the windows, but all of the characters in the procession are monkeys. The glazier had put that into the window. This is a medieval window from 400 or 500 years ago. But you find things like that that are very interesting. For instance, Henry Willett, Crosby Willett's father, had the artist design a music window one time. And one of the musicians in part of the window was Albert Schweitzer, who was a concert organist and a great humanitarian for his work as a doctor in Africa. But at his feet, a small figure down below his feet, only this big or so, was the character Linus from Peanuts, playing his toy piano. And they snuck that into that particular window. And of course, the children love that kind of a thing when they can find that.
It's like Where's Waldo almost, right?
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of things that are in different windows that you find as you go along, so that I'm learning every day and finding things that are interesting every day.
A big thank you to Jim Hauser for taking the time out to speak to us about Willett Hauser Architectural Glass and how Winona's known as the stained glass capital of the world. You've been listening to Don't You Know.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.